to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 715. I'm your intrepid host, Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined by my equally intrepid co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You're kind of listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live on Wednesdays in April at KOOP.org.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Five, six, seven, eight.
It is Wednesday, April 12th, 2023. On the show today, we have the folks from St. Edward's University Mary Moody Northern Theater and their show Luchadora. And later on, we'll be talking to the incomparable Ginger Morris of the Heller Awards. And of course, we will have a lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, New York, and Chicago. Stick with us.
I really need this job.
Please, God, I need this job.
Dear God, I need this job.
I cannot say
God,
hi.
I hope don't I even get it. I hope I get it.
So do you recognize what that song is?
Oh, that's Chorus Line. That's one of the greatest musicals ever made.
Ever made. Well, hello, Nicole Shiro. We missed you last week.
Yeah.
You were not feeling well.
No, I was not feeling well. And then I threw my back out like a day later after that. So
I have to tell you missed a great show. We had a wonderful time.
I know. And there was a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about.
And I don't want to put any pressure on the people that are here with us today. But those people last week were spitfire.
They were on fire. Yeah.
Yep. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio audience.
Let's do it.
First, welcome back to the
are
show.
Are you going to make them stand on the line?
Yes. Show me your picture. Cristian Mendez Aguirre.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
In person.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw each other on Zoom.
Yes.
We have Mia Ramirez.
Hi.
And we have Ali Matos.
Hello.
And somewhere back there, nowhere near a microphone, is Jarrett Mallett. What? He's coming up?
Oh, he's...
Hello.
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 Welcome. So you might wonder why I chose to play Chorus Line.
Why did you choose to play a Chorus Line?
Well, because now, you know, we're going to have our weekly discussion at the top of the show about Schmigadoon.
I know.
Oh. Is anybody here watching Schmigadoon other than me?
I actually just got my Apple TV subscription to watch it because the second season's coming out.
Oh, it's already out.
Yes.
There's three episodes already.
Sicily was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen
last
night.
I love Andy Cohen.
They played some of the one with hair.
Yep.
Yeah.
which was yesterday's episode, which I have not seen yet.
Yes.
So far, it's the same cast as last year or last season with the addition of Patrick Page. Former guest of Offstage and On the Air.
We haven't played his underwriting.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
We'll do it next week because we're going to be talking about Schmigadoon every week. And then, oh my God, I lost his name. I lose his name every single time. Titus Burgess is playing the narrator. And so last week when we talked about it, I watched the first like 10 minutes of it. I now have seen the first two episodes. Mm. Am I the only one in this room that has seen anything? Jarrett Mallon, have you
seen
the show?
I've seen like clips. No. I have not seen the whole sit down, watch a show.
So as we discussed, this is... musicals of the 60s and 70s.
Yes.
Much more dark than it was of the 50s and 40s
lots
and 50s.
Lots of horns and waka 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 waka.
Lots of, so far, almost exclusively Bob Fosse.
He kind of dominated that period.
So here's what's represented in the musical numbers so far, and I'm going by memory. Chicago, obviously. Pippin, it starts with Pippin. The first thing you hear is that organ chord.
Well, they do have magic to do.
Yes. And that's the song that they do.
Mm-hmm.
They also do Corner of the Sky, so they do a couple of Pippins. Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Hair.
No, we haven't seen it. I haven't.
I'm going
in the first two episodes.
Got it. Okay.
But Aaron Tveit is definitely Burger from Hair. It's just, it's so great. I don't know if Patrick Page is supposedly a character from one of the shows. I don't recognize it if he is, but he plays the owner of the Krat Club, which is the Kit Kat.
Yes,
Kit Kat Club.
Kit Kat, their version of the Kit Kat Club.
Mm-hmm. And Sally Bowles is, what's her name, that I can never remember her name, the young one. But Alan Cummings is Sweeney Todd.
I was like, Alan is the Sweeney.
Oh my God. I'm kind of loving it so far. I know that we can't
have
him.
Alan. If you like Alan Cummings, you need to watch him on The Traitors.
I don't even recognize the word you said.
The Traitors. Oh, but he says, the Traitors.
All the people
because he likes to say it all treacherous. And
all the people are beautiful.
You'll be murdered. His outfits. And I wondered, are those his clothes? It was. 90% of the wardrobe was his. I'm like, yes, of course it was.
There you go.
He is the Alan Cumming.
So
he's phenomenal.
Chicago is
Chicago is
wonderful. I recommend it, and it's so fun. I have neighbors that come over and watch it. I invite everybody that doesn't.
I love having watch parties. Yeah. We are long overdue for a watch party. We have tons of stuff on our list.
We are indeed. Switching gears, we had an opening off Broadway, which looks pretty amazing. Although Jesse Green of the New York Times did not make this a critic's pick.
That's okay.
This is Michael R. Jackson's satirical soap opera musical, White Girl in Danger. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty, throughout his, I would call it a lackluster review. Maybe people would disagree with me. I don't know if anybody else read it. I read it, I want to see it. It looks like a lot of fun. It's kind of a check your brain.
That some of those reviews that they're like, yeah, it wasn't so much fun. And you're like, yeah, but I want to go see
that.
You made me want to go see it.
He seemed to have a good time. But it is a over the top. He said it's too long. It's 3 hours long.
That's long.
Which maybe, especially for a sort of a comedy, 3 hours is like by the third hour, I'm done laughing.
Yeah. Well, maybe the white girl really is in danger, you know. And
it is
3 hours to find her.
It actually is set in a fictional
3 hours to find her. Oh my gosh!
It's set in a fictional soap opera world called All White, that's a real world, and then it's also a metaphorical one inhabited by ideas. Right. And basically, there's two groups of people. There's the white people, and then the black people are in the black ground.
The black ground.
Yeah, I love that. Wow. The black ground. Wow. And this is directed by Liliana Blaine Cruz.
Yes.
Do you know her?
I've followed a little bit of her work, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she directed the premiere of Everybody by Brendan Jenkins at the Signature Theater.
All right. Yeah.
We should say that if you're not familiar, Michael R. Jackson wrote A Strange Loop.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if part of the reason Jesse Green didn't like it is because in A Strange Loop, Michael did a really good job of anticipating what the critics were going to say about A Strange Loop.
Did you see it?
No. We're close to
seeing. Did you see they announced London and that the producing people on it? It's fantastic. They announced Strange Loop for London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They did, by the way, the rights just became available in one theater here in town, applied for the rights, and they said no. So that theater will be applying again.
As they should.
Yes.
As they should.
So this is a story of Keisha, who is the protagonist, I guess, the black character, is searching for an interblactitional blemished movement that will liberate all black grounds.
All black grounds.
It just sounds like so much fun.
It does.
It does.
Yeah. So this is part of Jesse Green's... I make notes on my what's this called, tablet, and I just moved the lines around, so I'm not quite sure what I have underlined and what I haven't. So... anyway, it looks like a lot of fun. It is a co-production of The Vineyard and the Second Stage Theaters. It just looks like a lot of fun. And Michael Jackson is it's not just fun. It's also talking about race and class and gender and all those things that he says. I would go see it.
I hear, and
it is playing, for those of you in New York, at the Tony Kaiser Theater. It's a wild, raunchy, overstuffed tale.
And if they've seen A Strange Loop, it's, you know, it kind of dramaturgically, it tracks.
Yeah, that, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's a good thing he's doing that.
You know, I think Alan Cumming, speaking of him, may be one of the producers on The Strange Loop in London. Now that I'm just sitting here going.
Okay. Have we hit Strange Loop in London? Is there anything more about it we want to talk about? We can.
No, I'm just, I think he might be, we were just talking about him. I found it kind of interesting that we were talking about that and that. And I'm like, wait a minute, I think he's connected.
That's cool.
Serendipity.
Yeah, it's serendipitous. Mm-hmm. It's Alan Cummingness.
I guess so.
So there is a, hold on, I don't want to talk about that. What did I want to, I'll just talk, jump to this really quickly. Death Becomes Her musical.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, I actually think I loved the movie.
I do love the movie.
And I think it could translate well.
I think it would translate well, but I think there's other things we could do.
True. No die. Are y'all familiar with Death Becomes Her?
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I used to watch it with my mom when I was little.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have been watching it at that age. But
yeah, maybe not. Who knows? But Goldie Hawn, Meryl Streep, and Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a reading of this musical 2 days ago on April 10th, and starring Megan Hilty as Madeline, who I think is the...
I think that was Meryl, right?
Meryl Streep character. Jennifer Simard is Helen, who would be the Goldie Hawn character, and Christopher Cyber as Ernest. This show, the musical, has a book by Marco Panetti, with an original score by Julia Matson and Noel Carey.
Hmm.
So it seemed, I don't know, it seems like it could be interesting. The choreography and direction is Christopher Gattelli.
Interesting.
Which I like that. I don't know the person, but I like the name.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Christopher Gattelli.
Who?
Christopher Gattelli.
Yeah. Diego.
Yeah. I think I did. What do y'all think?
You didn't
musical?
Give me a grazie.
No, yes or no? I didn't give you a what?
I said, oh, prego, you didn't give me a grazie.
Grazie.
I feel like I haven't seen the movie, but I'm more in the camp of like the fresh musicals rather than the adaptations. Love a good adaptation, but I feel like, fresh musical.
Well, speaking of things going the other direction, Lea Michele hinted at a movie of Funny Girl.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. I heard, and I don't know whether it was this show or not, I heard, Jarrett Mallon is shaking his head no.
And so is me.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm okay.
Well, but, I heard somewhere about if it was a live taping similar to how they did Hamilton, might be worth it. Another actual film starring Lea Michele, maybe not.
Mm. I'm excited about Wicked. I've been seeing. Did you see the sets of the?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh! They showed all the Munchkinville set going on, and I was like, "Hello in Ivanhoe, England." And Ariana and Cynthia have been sharing pictures everywhere, and I'm like, I am down with this.
I love that you're on first name basis with them.
I am.
That's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that I think is kind of topical. There is a play called Play AI, written completely by ChatGPT.
Yeah,
I had to look it up. I keep forgetting what it's called.
Oh,
of course.
It's a whole theater at Riverside Studios. It's going to be this month. It is cited. It is show the quote, a thrilling, unique theatrical project written by ChatGPT.
No, thank you.
Well, I'm not finished reading
it
yet.
Yeah, but when you tell me it's written by AI, I'm like, no, thank you.
Allow me to finish. I'll go back and start over again. A thrilling, unique theatrical product written by ChatGPT that seeks to prompt a conversation about the future of our industry and the relationship it will have on AI. I think it could be an interesting prospect if they're making a statement.
Yeah, well, it's also full circle because the word robot was invented by a playwright. And so,
I think you're right.
Yeah, Rossum's Universal Robots in 1920. So it's a little bit full circle. And I was just on there's that Facebook group, like the official playwrights of Facebook, and they posted this morning that someone found the first submission guideline that says you cannot submit a play that is even partially written by AI. So it's interesting that people are starting to draw the lines in the sand.
With AI. It's interesting. I don't know. It'll be interesting to, you know, flash forward. I won't be around, but like 15 years from now, and see, you know, what art looks like. It's just really rather scary. This is produced by Metatheo Theatrical and is directed by Matt Bond. It's going to have four performances, April 28th and 29th. The director says, our hope is that AI augments the work of industry professionals and is a technological revolution that, although we may not be able to accurately predict what it will look like in 10 years' time, we will be living with. Well, I think
you're having
right about
a
that.
Computer completely write a play. You're not augmenting an artist to me. That's just you're taking someone else's job and creativity that has to grow as a human does.
Well, true, so, but one could argue that the director, the scenic designers, and all those people are not done by AI, and they are the ones that are contributing the human element to it. But no, I don't think anybody disagrees with you. Yeah.
Not my jam.
There was a very interesting article in Broadway News about Parade that I found interesting, and they had brought in a couple of consultants, a rabbi and a priest.
Yes, a rabbi. They started off the article, a rabbi and a priest walk into the theater.
They do.
I was like, they really went there, didn't they?
But they're talking about, and it brings a wider conversation, because I've had this experience as I've been directing shows, just the toll it takes on performers when they're playing the bad character, the bad guy, if you will, or the, in this case, the racist, anti-Semitic characters. And they brought in these consultants to talk to the cast and look at them and help them process. And it was it's a very interesting article, and it talks about... a lot of people, you know, Jewish actors, black actors, Christian actors, and how it all affects them, and how they're, you know, trying to deal with that. They were invited to go into Parade as interfaith consultants to reflect upon the pain inherent in playing each role, while keeping in mind the wider vision that the play has in the world as an intersectional art and activism. Have you ever dealt with that, Christiane? Dealing with the actors that are going, you know, I don't like being a bad person.
Yeah, when we did that production of The Tempest, that was really foregrounding Ariel and Caliban as Mexican-American women, and Prospero was a white gentrifier.
Yeah.
The cast was friends off the stage, and they're, you know, like Prospero calls Caliban a slave and tells Ariel to make herself invisible and all of that, and so we had lots of conversations about what it meant to, like, consent to say and do those words. But it did take a toll on that actress.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a conversation.
I've been dealing with that a lot lately. And it's like those of us that are old and have been around a while, we're so used to going, yeah, just deal with it. You're playing the bad guy. Who cares how it affects you?
Right.
And I'm very happy to say that we're really taking a different approach to the theater making process and really paying honor to those. The painful way it is to play those roles.
And I think it pushes the conversation forward beyond like merely just treating theater as just like, oh, we're just telling the story, to be like, no, but what are we doing when we're choosing to tell the story? Like, what are we putting people through when we're trying to tell a story?
Yep.
What are we asking of them? And what is the really specific reason that this community needs to see this work beyond just like, it's a story
Thank you.
We're telling?
Yeah. I just had this example not too long ago about, why did you even produce this piece? It should not be on stage anymore.
Yes.
You know, those days are gone. And so that's interesting. And I have that fight within my own theater company, with one of us that doesn't want to do any show that was written more than 10 years ago, which I have arguments against that attitude, but a lot of people are looking at that.
To me, that also becomes the conversation moving from the why this play now that not everybody asks to being like, why this play now here and with these people?
Correct. You know? Yes. One of the things that they say in this article is just talking about the characters in the play Parade. Leo Frank, the Jewish protagonist of the story, is lynched in the same way extremists in postbellum South had honed as a tool of terror against black people. Leo's wife, Lucille, is belittled and overlooked because of the gender norms of that era. Jewish people, then and now, enjoy a modicum more freedom than status of black people, only when it remains convenient for the white Christian majority. The white supremacist milieu keeps black and Jewish folks from joining the common from joining in common cause because both communities are struggling to survive. And I find that just very interesting. And Parade does such a good job of showing all those contrasting elements. So very, very interesting. I am looking forward to seeing it. I've been talking to several people who are going to New York, and I always, anytime anybody goes to New York, I say, what are you going to see? Mm-hmm. So many people's first thing is Parade. And kind of like that. All right. Nodding does not work on the radio.
Does wrestling work
on
the radio?
Wrestling does. I have to mention this. Not a lot of people knew him, but he was a friend of mine, and he passed away. Sammy Viverito, who played Paul in A Chorus Line for a long time, another Chorus Line.
Which is a really awesome.
Yeah, and I've worked with Sammy back when I was doing industrial theater. And he did a very interesting thing. He was spotted by Michael Bennett while he was in school and was offered the role of Mike on the first national tour. And he said, I'd rather finish my education. Mm-hmm. Can you put this on pause? And they said, yeah, okay. And they did. So he graduated, and then he joined the road company. He came into New York, played Mike, finally eventually played Paul for a long time. He, like Bjork Lee, is one of these people that would restage a lot of shows. And he did a whole bunch of music videos and other things.
I just Chorus Line's so special. It's just, it is the artist's voice. Like, it's just, it's special.
Yep.
They're true stories, true words, true people, true voices. And that's just. Yep.
And that's what Sammy did. And so he passed away just recently. He was married to Michael Hotop, somebody who was dear friend of mine who died, I think, in 2020. Michael was a scenic designer on Broadway.
Okay. I was like, why do I know the name?
Yeah, I worked with Michael for years. He started out with a partnership with a man named Paul DePoss. It was Hotop and DePoss. But anyway, Michael and Sammy were married they were together for like 30 years. They married after it became legal. Mm. Rest in peace, both of you.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the final thing I want to talk about is the Bodyguard sing-along. Or it wasn't really a Bodyguard sing-along. Did you see this article?
The what?
What went down in London?
What?
The chaos that ensued? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
it wasn't in London. I'm sorry. I think it was in Manchester.
Yeah, I'll tell you where it is.
It was in England.
The Bodyguard.
Well, anyway, yeah, Manchester, England. You are so good. She's doing this
just
by
like
memory.
Hair. Manchester, England. We can make hair connect now.
Yeah,
see?
Got it. Anyway, I need to look at my notes. She just knows everything.
Because I was like, scandal at the Bodyguard, a brawl. What went down? Like,
It wasn't a brawl, per se. It was. The audience would not stop singing the songs, and they finally had to shut down the show.
Oh my God. I told them all, no singing.
And it was allowed. And it was 10 minutes before the end of the show, and they shut it down.
Which is crazy because in that show, the finale is like this giant moment that everybody kind of gets up on. So like they ended it before that, but...
Yep.
Wait, so the audience, there was a performance going on, and then the audience wouldn't stop singing along to the song.
Correct.
From the performance.
Yeah. So they stopped their performance and now have told
it was not only just singing, it wasn't like lightly singing, it was rowdy, loud
like
singing.
Concert. Yeah.
So much that it disrupted what was going on.
What performance was this?
The Bodyguard.
The Bodyguard.
Oh, I see. I got confused. I was thinking of a bunch of Bodyguards singing along.
No, no.
Oh, I get it.
Because you said the Bodyguards sing along. I was like, that sounds really cool.
Based, okay. Based on the movie with Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston, that Bodyguard.
Oh. All right. Well, we're running late, so I need to stop this. And we're going to take a little break and we're going to listen to that song, I Will Always Love You, from the...
Written by Dolly Parton.
Musical, The Bodyguard.
The Bodyguard.
And
we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and
Nicole.
What a fun conversation. We always talk a lot more than I think we're going to.
Well,
I'm just saying.
We got the gift of gab.
We do. We have the gift of gab.
Shep Sinshiro got the gift of gab.
So let's talk to our audience members here about why they're really here, and that is Luchadora, which is opening up soon at St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theater. And just to reintroduce, Cristian Mendez Aguirre is the director.
Hi. Hello.
And two of the performers playing Lupita is Mia Ramirez.
Hi.
And the mask maker is Ali Matos.
Ooh. Hello.
And then, of course, back there, not near a microphone, is Jarrett Mallon. He's running to a microphone.
Hello.
Cristian, tell me, what is this show?
It's a very loose adaptation of the story of Mulan, where, you know, a father gets injured and then his daughter has to take his place.
Is that indeed Mulan, the Disney Mulan?
I think.
Disney took Mulan from...
I figured that, but I only know it from Disney.
Right. But so, yeah, it has that... Like, if you take off your glasses and you squint, like, that's the... You know, they're related.
That's a great way to say it.
They're distant cousins.
Alternate universe.
It's the multiverse. Alvaro, the playwright, threw in Lucha Libre. And it's set in the present day and in 1968.
Okay.
U.S., Texas, and Milwaukee.
Okay. And it deals with Mexican wrestling, correct?
Yes, lucha libre, exactly. That's a huge part of it. I also think it's, and we talked about this a little bit with Jared and with the cast, but it's also about like the fact that the lead character, Lupita, who Mia is playing, isn't allowed to wrestle because she's a woman, because she's a girl. And so... topical to everything going on in our state here in Texas is, to me, it's also about like what we let young people do or not do based on their gender and how that affects who they become as adults. Yep. And so that's kind of like part of the beating heart of the play for me. And it's also just a lot of fun. Yeah.
Mia, tell me a little bit more about your character, Lupita.
Yeah, Lupita, she's so much fun. She's super headstrong and she doesn't like to be told no, which I think plays in a lot to what Cristian was saying about like challenging those gender norms. And like she has to take care of her dad because of his injury. And like, you know, a single parent household in the 60s is already rough, especially for a minority. So, you know, she's carrying a lot of that weight on her all the time. So being able to work with the mask maker and, you know, kind of do these things that she's not supposed to do because she's not a boy is, it's a big release for her. And it's a really big, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very impactful, not only for me, but also to know that there are going to be other little girls in the audience seeing this and knowing like, hey, I can do that. Not sure. Just because someone said I can't.
Mm-hmm. At what age range is Lupita? And are you playing her both in the 60s and then later as... No.
No. Yeah, she is 16.
Sorry, I just said that because Cristian shook his head, which I know is not good for radio. So
it's okay.
No, Lupita is 16 in 1968. And then my older counterpart is played by Toni Knight, who is another phenomenal actress. She's wonderful. I love her.
I'm unaware of her.
Oh, you will be.
I'm teasing. I know Toni quite well.
But yeah, so I play 16-year-old Lupita in 1968.
Amazing. And let's talk about the mask maker, Ali. So are you creating the mask that Lupita wears to mask herself?
I do.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Tell us more about that. Does the mask maker have an actual name that is published?
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
But yeah, she does in the show, she doesn't, but I believe that just like the name Maskmaker is like, wow, like amazing enough. And honestly, the Maskmaker is, I like to think of her as someone who's like, she's everywhere. She sees everything. And like, she's just, and like, she's the one responsible planting that seed of curiosity in Lupita. Mm-hmm. And the one responsible for like, the father allowing like Lupita, to like wrestle and whatnot. So that's why like at first I was like, oh, well, mask maker, great. But then as I kept working along, I was like, oh no, this is a really important
Unpeel
character.
Unpeel those layers.
She's a mask. Yes. So,
found out what was under the mask.
Yes, we did.
Not apropos of anything, but in the 70s, I had a CB back in the day, and my handle was the mask maker.
Was it really?
Oh. Oh.
or is this one of your sorority names in college?
No, thing? That's what I.
For
that's
real.
That's why I prefaced it with "This is true."
Okay.
You got the mask maker, good buddy. Which 20?
Oh my gosh! I wish I was on the other end of that CV.
Oh yeah, we had great. Ali, you're gonna do a little monologue, are you not?
We're gonna do a scene.
Actually. A scene.
Yes.
Yes.
We're gonna do a scene. We switch.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the scene. Would you like to set it up, Christian?
It's about halfway through the play. It doesn't give a ton away, and we are the play is so integrated that it was really hard to pick one. So I actually will be reading for a small chunk for one of our fabulous actors, Marcelo Rivera, playing the character of El Hijo, that is like the nemesis.
Lovely.
Yes.
Well, wonderful. This is Cristian Mendez Aguirre, Miro Ramirez, and Ali Matos doing a scene from St. Ed's production of Luchadora.
Today, you will practice elbow drops. Now, the key to a good elbow drop is that you lower yourself enough, and bam! You do this well enough, and El Hijo will forget his birthday. Lista?
Señora, I'm really sore. I can barely move without it hurting.
Good. That means all the laziness is leaving your bones.
What's this?
Toma.
I don't feel sore anymore. What's in this?
Lista? Muéstrame. Again. Otra vez.
Elbow drop.
Nopales. That's what was in there.
Cactus? Really?
It's my great-great-grandmother's recipe. She believed it can cure anything that ails you.
Can I have some more?
Later. I want to see some more elbow drops. Go.
Elbow drop.
Otra vez.
Elbow drop.
Again.
Elbow drop.
Tong, 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 tong. 3 semanas, Máscara Rosa. 3 weeks until we meet in the arena in good old Cream City. What are you gonna do when El Hijo runs wild on you?
Take a break.
Let me do it one more time.
That's what I like to hear.
Elbow drop. Where did you learn to wrestle?
My father. He was a luchador. El pico de gallo.
Sorry.
I wanted to be just like him, so I would sneak into the garage and watch him train my 3 brothers. I would get so mad. Why wouldn't he teach me? But I knew why.
Because you're not a boy.
I still don't understand how that makes a difference. Break's over. Back to work.
But I just sat down.
You're lucky I let you rest that long. Levántate.
And see.
Elbow drop.
Again. That was fun.
That's amazing. Yeah. So we just have a few more minutes left, but are you learning wrestling moves?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, how's the wrestling moves coming?
So I'm guessing you've learned elbow drop. What other ones? Are you lifting people over your head and throwing them into the audience?
Personally, I'm not.
I
am. We get pretty close to it, though. Some of our other luchadores are doing some crazy, crazy lifts. Yeah. I suplex a couple people. I get my back broken at one point. She flips me over a couple times.
Yes.
It's some stumps and some bear hugs.
Yeah, some stumps.
Amazing. Do you have a consultant that's working with you on the...
Yes.
And what's that person's name?
Roen Salinas, who's a local choreographer, and he runs a slam dance company. And he's been amazing.
Wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Well, and the last thing we just need to cover right here, are the two of you, I'm guessing, are students?
Yes,
we are.
Yeah. Okay, what year are you both in?
We're both seniors.
You're both seniors.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I have to ask you what you plan to do after you leave St. Ed's.
Well, this summer I'm actually working at Zilker Theater. I'm going to be
not familiar.
Doing, yeah. I'm going to be doing carpentry and maybe a little bit of scenic painting. I also did both for this show as well. I work in the scene shop when I'm not doing like BFA stuff.
I love that. Yeah. So you're going to work on Matilda this summer.
Yes, I will be working on
Fantastic.
Matilda.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
After I graduate, I am planning to become financially stable enough to move to New York because
that's where
the fight will begin.
Excellent. Well, that's wonderful to hear.
Awesome.
When does this show open?
Thursday night.
This Thursday, the 13th?
Thursday, the 13th at 7:30, and people can go see it at St. Ed's, and they can come enjoy it.
Great. How do people get information? I see Jarrett running up to a microphone.
Right up. They can visit our website at steds.edu/theater.
Right. That's a good way to do it. You could also Google, which is what I did, St. Ed's Luchadora, and it pops right up. Mm-hmm. Well, and then you play through the 23rd. How many performances?
Eight total, yes.
Amazing. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Cristian Mendez Aguirre, Mia Ramirez, Ali Matos, and Jarrett Mallon of St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theater's production of Luchadora, playing April 13th through 23rd. For more information, I just say Google St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern or Luchadora. And this is from Whistle Down the Wind by our friend Andrew Lloyd Webber, and it's called Wrestle the Devil.
You gotta be prepared to wrestle with the devil in a heartbeat before the moment.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I actually went to, it wasn't the Mexican wrestling, but I went to like the World Wrestling Foundation with my nephew. And it was very interesting.
Really? It is kind of fascinating.
He came to visit me in Chicago, and he said, we have to go see. I bought like ringside
tickets. Oh, you were like in it to win it.
Well,
you bought the Rocky Das musical seats.
I did.
To get on the ring.
Yep. So a couple of things that are happening here locally. Fusebox Festival is starting. It's going on right now, today, I believe. There's stuff happening all over the place. The thing I'm most familiar with, because it's happening at Ground Floor Theater, is Michael J. Love is doing a performance, and there's a name to it, but I can't remember what it is. But it's tap dancing, and it's amazing. And then over at the Crash Box, the Rude Mex place, is the show Contronyms. And I'm just going to read this thing here. It says, remember in the not too distant past when U.S. citizens from far, far left and far, far right were caught posting violent rhetoric online, were sent to chant camps?
Chant camps.
Yeah, I don't think that really is a thing. Okay. Anyway, it's an alternative history. The Rude Mex, because it's all full for Fusebox, but they added four performances.
That's kind of cool.
So you can get information at, I think it's rudemex.org.
I think you are.
I'm just
going to
say
that.
It's rudemex.org.
You could Google the Rude Mex.
Yeah, Austin. rudemex.com.
Com.
But that's where you can get information. And then you can get information at Fusebox, fuseboxfestival.org or .com, or just Google Fusebox Festival. One of the two.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't care what you do.
There you go.
Do you? No. Have you? Because Fusebox is always at Ground Floor Theater, I never get to see any of the Fusebox other stuff.
Oh.
Have you gone to Fusebox?
It's been a long time. Yes.
Ginger Morris, who's here in the studio, have you gone to Fusebox?
Been a long time.
It has also been a long time.
Yeah, you'd have to get up to the microphone
been
if you're going to speak.
Been a long time.
Day. Yeah. It's been a long time. Ginger Morris joins us, folks.
True. Hello.
And Riley Vines, come on and join us, too. What the heck?
You can adjust that for your height there, Riley. Just use this.
We're just talking about the local things going on before we get to the big news, which is the Heya Awards. So Contronyms, the Fusebox. The second thing that's happening at Ground Floor Theater is Tyler something. Evidently he's a magician. It's going to look like a lot of fun. Magician in clothes. I know there's hanging racks everywhere.
I love magicians.
I do
magicians
too.
Magicians and illusions are fantastical.
It's real magic to me. I think there's, I don't know, something about it.
And the sad
there's
thing
something
is
about the art of illusion.
And when
really
you learn
is.
How it's done, I'm crestfallen. I will tell a story. I did close-up magic in high school. And my friend Victor was a magician. These are high school kids talking. He did this one trick where he had a silk, and the silk would rise up and a little ball would float over on the top of it. And I always asked him how he did it. It just amazed me, and he refused to tell me. So after I started doing magic, I said, I'm now doing it. I'm like in the industry. Can you tell me? And he told me, and it's so
you
stupidly
like,
simple.
Wah, wah,
and now it
wah.
Ruined the trick for me. It's no longer magic.
Yeah,
so it's best not to know. And I was in
Vegas. Olivia Newton-John says, got to believe in magic.
Got to believe in magic. she said,
got to believe there is magic. Nothing to get in the way. Sorry, are there
going to No, I'm just talking? Waiting for you to be done. You're good. Stuff. You got it. Okay. So, yeah, love Magic. Thank you. I did go to a Doug Henning show in Vegas, and I was
seated.
Oh, that's
old school Magic, Doug.
Well, this was in the 80s. Yeah. I was seated way on the side, and you could see every mirror that existed. It took a lot of it away. Other things playing in Austin right at this very moment is the Dragonfly Princess.
Yes.
They're playing through the 15th of this month. Cat in the Hat is still playing at Zach.
That Dr. Seuss.
Through the 23rd. And Roe, playing at Zach, just opened. And it's directed by the incomparable Jenny Lavery.
Jenny Lavery.
It has a whole bunch of people that I just love in it. It's playing now through the 30th.
That cast is spectacular.
Indeed. And then, of course, guests on the show last week, the Barons Men did The Winter's Tale. Did I miss anything?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because there's a lot of stuff that's going to be opening.
Will be opening. It's a little light right now.
Now's the time to get all those in because a lot of another stuff is coming down the pike.
Today in theater history.
Today stuff happened. Lisa gonna tell us.
Well, actually, today in theater history starts with today. I wouldn't call it in history because it actually hasn't happened yet. Fat Ham opens tonight.
Dun 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 dun. It will be history as of tomorrow.
We have nothing but jingles here at Offstage.
Yeah,
Nicole's
beautiful. On it.
I'm going to start with birthdays. Ann Miller, 1923. She was 2 days older than my father. Brendan Urie. Claire Danes.
These are some interesting people, and I haven't really thought about them in a while, and I'm loving that you're bringing them up. Okay.
Dan Lauria. Alan Ackburn. And Saoirse Ronan.
She's
pretty hot these days, that Saoirse Ronan.
She is. That's a very eclectic group of people.
Yeah. In 2001, Bells Are Ringing. I'm guessing it's a revival.
I'm going to say ding, ding, ding.
In 2015, American in Paris opened. I don't believe that was a revival. I think that's the first time it was.
It's
not a revival. It was from the movie.
No, it's the first time they took it from. They took it from the movie.
They took it from the movie. In 2018, Carousel, which why don't I remember this? The playbill from the Imperial Theater shows an African American man on the cover. So I'm guessing I don't remember this.
We
must have. But
I remember it on the Tonys. Mm-hmm. It looked really cool.
Yeah, well, as cool as Carousel can look.
I don't know. It was a lot of really exciting dancing, actually.
You know what? I never found Carousel exciting, and I did enjoy the Tony performance.
I didn't get to see it. That made me actually get a little
excited.
Yeah.
Now that you say that, Ginger, yes.
Well, I'm going to go and do some more research on that because my memory.
Ooh, there was someone, was it like a Laura Linney? Someone big was in it. I can't remember who. I don't know.
But we're gonna
could be. Who knows?
That's a different show.
I know, not a jingle.
went to West Side Story suddenly.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay. It's good.
The lyrics worked. I was keeping it all show.
Oh, okay. Cool. So let's listen to probably a kind of inappropriate song from Bells Are Ringing called Muchacha. We'll be right back. Hey, cha cha. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
And we are joined by Ginger Morris of so many things. The name of your new organization just escaped me.
Impact Arts.
Thank you. Impact Arts and other things. And one of the first people I met in Austin, Texas, when we opened a Play Theater Group back in the day. And Ginger is joined by Riley Vines.
Hello.
who worked on Summer Stock Austin back in the day?
Yeah, 2019 was my first season.
And what is your position? What are you doing here for the Heller Awards?
Yeah, I'm a stage management intern with them, and I kind of help with all the rehearsals and also the deck during the show.
That's Lisa's jam.
I'm slightly familiar with stage management, just a little bit. So many people will remember the Heller Awards as the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards. I refused to use the other name for it.
all the acronym
GAPSMATA. I refused.
It's all right.
Rightly, though, it changed its name to the Heller Awards. What is Heller?
Oh, well.
What is Who Is Heller?
I what like is
that
Who Is?
Three for a loop. You weren't expecting that one.
No, okay. Well, Marianne and Andrew Heller are two wonderful philanthropists in Austin who support lots of different arts organizations, and they are they started the endowment for the what was the Great Austin High School Musical Theater Awards, and now is named rightfully so after them, the Heller Awards.
Heyas.
Yes.
Well, that's incredible, and of course I'm familiar with it as I participate in the stuff that goes on early on to get to this point. But we're coming up to the big awards ceremony, are we not?
It is a week from today.
Oh, my gosh.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's so lovely that we have our Foley artist here on site this week.
I felt like, why stop now with only 10 minutes left in the show?
Yeah, you
got to
keep it going.
Got to keep it going. yeah, so that is happening at the Long Center.
It is.
Not at the Rollins.
Definitely not at the Rollins.
No,
definitely
at the Big.
The Big Baby.
On the Meredith Stage in Del Hall.
You're in the Big Girl Theater.
And how many seats is that?
It's about 2,400.
Yeah, that's so exciting. What's the average high school seat?
Some of them are pretty big, but I'd say 500.
Not that big. So definitely not. This is a totally different moment.
Yeah. I will say, as someone who's relatively been in the business just a few years back, I was asked to present one of the awards, and I was quite intimidated for just speaking in front of a group that size.
It is. When you walk up on the stage and you see that audience, it is definitely intimidating.
Riley, did you perform
I never performed, but I was at a high school that participated, and sitting in the audience watching all that happen was just like mind-blowing.
Pretty amazing. The energy is palpable.
Yes. It is. Palpable. It's hard to explain what it feels and sounds like in that room when 2,400... you know, young people who love musical theater are going nuts celebrating with each other. And it feels kind of like
energetic,
like the Tony Awards meets a football game.
Yes.
You know,
like, yes,
it's
the, exactly.
It's all I like
this,
that
like, excitement and energy that is very artistic, but the elevated sort of like.
And I like
energy.
Your analogy, because I do say theater is football, even though Lisa disagrees with me.
Oh, yeah, it's totally football.
First act, second act, costumes, choreography, lighting, blocking.
You hike the props.
Music.
You rehearse.
You rehearse.
Then you have to adjust depending on the plays.
I'm just helping out. Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'm all for it.
It's fantastic.
One of the things that I love about the Heller Awards and like the Jimmys and everything is the last two awards, which is the Actors Awards, that all the... And I'm using air quotes, competitors are up on stage. And when they announce the award, I'm tearing up just thinking about it. How much support there is from everybody. It's truly less a competition and more...
A celebration.
Yeah. Yes. When we go out to... So there's 8 schools that are nominated for Best Production, and they do a number, and we go out and workshop the number before it comes to the Del Hall. And so we have sort of a conversation beforehand about what this is and what to expect. And one of the things that I always talk about is that it's not like the Voice or American Idol, where everybody's coming to a competition. The competition is over. As a matter of fact, you just did a musical at your school that you would have done regardless of whether or not judges came.
Right.
And then judges score and evaluate, and nominees are picked and winners and whatever. But that's all done. And now we are honestly all coming together with a common passion for musical theater and sharing that with each other and building our community and our network of love for something that we all share. And I think, I kind of watch the students' faces as I'm talking about that. And you can kind of see them go like, oh, that's not how I was thinking about this. You know, I forgot that, like, because I say you have a cast here of 35 or 40, and now you have a cast of, over 400.
Right.
So, you know, you may not meet all of your castmates. You may, you know, and you are going to meet a lot of people from other schools that you otherwise would not meet. And you're all now in a show together. So, you know, sharing and shared the shared experience of being in theater is not, as we all know in this room, not like anything else.
Well, besides those numbers, don't they actually do an opening and closing number like all together?
Yes. Yeah, so we have what's called the Select Ensemble. And those are students from any participating school who audition at the beginning of the year. And we work with them all year long. They do the opening number and they introduce the lead supporting and featured nominees as part of the opening number. And they all come out and do a little section and do a little dance and song together. And then the finale is two students from each participating school. So it's very fun because, and they're, you know, singing and dancing. And so it's, you know, you've got students from, you know, the Wizard of Oz singing and dancing with students from, you know, Adam's Family. Or, you know, and it's just like a whole stage of kind of crazy cacophony of musical theater.
I love it.
It's pretty amazing. Riley.
We'd say that's one singular sensation.
Let's just bring it full circle. Riley, tell people, like, in a sentence or two, if possible, what is it that a stage manager does?
Yeah, so during the awards, during the rehearsal process, I have been working with every nominee, every member of Select Ensemble to make sure that they're ready to go for the 19th. And then also during the show, I'm making sure that all of the scenery is getting on stage when it needs to be, making sure no actors are missing their cues, the award presenters are where they need to be. All the above, just really making sure the show runs smoothly.
Yeah, I mean, the stage managers are truly the unsung heroes. And I was just having this conversation because that's my background. And I think they most stage managers want to be the unsung heroes. I've always said that if you see the stage manager, they're not doing a very good job. if everything is run smooth and smooth as butter and everything good, that means the stage manager is doing a major job.
Absolutely.
So thank you for doing that work. It's it's very rewarding and sometimes thankless. So I'm going to thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
and honestly, what Riley is in college at UT and
University of Texas?
Yes.
Or University of Tennessee?
University of Texas.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
It was all I could do not to start doing She Loves Me. Thank you, please come again.
Unlike a show, though, an award show is so complicated. I mean, there's just so many parts and pieces between school numbers, Select Ensemble, are the lead and supporting numbers, this finale that's got,
but they're,
you know,
all different because, like, normally you do just a cabaret or just a musical or just a straight play. Like, you're taking all of these elements all in one moment and one night.
Yes.
That's a lot.
And then, you know, there's a lot of coordinating with schools and students and teachers and yada yada. So I'm telling you, Riley is just like, she's amazing.
And I will say this entire undertaking is a Herculean task, all but mostly upon your shoulders and your team, of course, and y'all do a phenomenal job. We're running out of time. Is this award ceremony open to the public?
It is.
Where can folks go to get more information about it?
TheLongCenter.org.
Okay, awesome. And if for some reason they miss it this year or want to learn more about what you're doing, how do they find out what
Same
you're
place.
Doing?
They can go to TheLongCenter.org to find out what the Heller Awards are doing, mm-hmm. if they're interested in the rest of the things that I do
yes.
all year long.
Summerstock Austin and all of Impact Arts.
Yes, ImpactArts.org.
Yeah, mm-hmm. amazing. Well, thank you all so much for coming. I'm sorry I'm going to miss it this year. I have a rehearsal of my own that night, and I can't
no.
go. I know.
That's so sad. Well,
well
we'll
thank
miss you.
You so much for coming on, Riley. Really loved having you. Ginger, always
Aww,
welcome on our show.
I know.
You are too, it's Riley, but Ginger's really always welcome.
Oh, thank you. It was nice to see you both.
You too. Big
Thanks
kisses.
So much. That was Ginger Morris and Riley Vines of the Heller Awards on the 19th. For more information, thelongcenter.org. And I just think that I chose this because it's high school students and they're our future. This is called Future Street from the show that we all know, Play It Cool.
Future Street, the sidewalk's finer. Future Street, the sun shines bright. future street. The people have some pep in their step, and everybody's traveling light. Right there.
Oh, I wish we had time to listen to more of that.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, all of us are standing here going, we haven't heard of this.
We haven't heard of that song. Lisa came up with another one.
Lisa, you're on fire today.
Well, I'm glad to have you back this week. It was a fun show.
Me too.
And I know you're still not even 100% feeling well. But no, here
well,
you are.
I started feeling better, and then I threw my back out. So, you know, it's just one problem to the next.
That's true. Well, I'm going to make...
Hashtag old people problems.
It's true. I'm going to make sure we end early enough to hear a little bit of this next song. The Austin Common Radio Hour with John Hoffner is coming up next. Shucked just released... I only found one song, but this is called Independently Owned, and it looks like a lot of fun, and I thought I would share it with our audience. I don't think we talked about Shucked last week because they opened.
I was like, talked about it last week.
Yeah, have you seen Red? Anything?
I've seen Red. I'm kind of interested and fascinated.
See it. Yeah, and I didn't realize, and of course I talked about it last week, but I did not realize it till I read the reviews that, and we had talked about this on the show. Its earlier incarnation was Hee Haw the musical.
Yes.
That's what it started out as.
Yes. But evidently, I used to watch that as a kid.
Yeah, I hate watched it.
Oh.
And evidently this what opened on Broadway doesn't have a lot of reminiscence or a lot of to do with the original, but I just found that was interesting. Because it kind of sneaked up on everybody. Shucked.
It really did. And then all of a sudden it was like, shucks, Shucked is everywhere.
It was.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's listen to Independently Owned from Shucked. As I said, Austin Common Radio Hour with the incomparable John Hoffner is coming up next. And Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, folks.
Bye.
I'm independently owned and operated. The only thing around here that's incorporated.